Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has no material body, yet he appears as a human being. For how many years did he live with the descendants of Vrishni? How many wives did he marry? And how many years did he live in Dwarka? Purport. In many places, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described as Sachidananda Vigraha, possessing a spiritual, blissful body. His bodily feature is Narakriti, that is, exactly like that of a human being. Here, the same idea is repeated in the words Manusham Ashritya, which indicate that he accepts a body exactly like that of a man. Everywhere it is confirmed that Krishna is never nirakar or formless. He has his form exactly like that of a human being. There is no doubt about this. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatari Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So this verse is from the 10th canto, which is the smiling face of the Lord, which represents the smiling face of the Lord. And this verse in particular is, who is asking this question? Yeah, Maharaj Parikshit is asking to Sukhdev Goswami about this question. And Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has no material body, yet he appears as a human being. For how many years did he live with the descendants of Vrishni? For how many years did he live? 125? No. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. So Krishna lived about 9 to 10 years in, you know, Vrindavan, when Akrura was came to take him on orders of Kamsa to Mathura. So Krishna went to Mathura as a 9 to 10 year old, and then he stayed there with the Mathura Vasis till he was 28. And at 28, then he went to Dwarka. And there he stayed in between breaks right up until the end, which is 125 years, like that. So he stayed with the Vrishni descendants about 95, 97 years, something like that. Yeah. How many wives did he marry? Of course, everyone knows that. Yeah, 16,108. And for how many years did he live in Dwarka? Of course, that we discussed here. Yeah, like that. So the main thing is, the first point, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has no material body. So I was born a Hindu, and like all the interpretation that you hear, you also think that Krishna, you know, is an avatar. And so he's also like one of the avatars. So, you know, it is clearly written, if you research on the, Krishna died at 125 years of age. So, you know, there's a whole lot of misconception. And even after all these years in devotional service, still for me it is difficult to believe Krishna's form with all that knowledge. And you think that how much we have been conditioned and brainwashed, I mean at least me, that you can't always remember Krishna's spiritual form and his potencies like that. So here Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, janma karma cha me divyam evam yoveti tatvatah tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti surjana, that one who knows the transcendental nature of his appearance and activities, he does not have to take birth again in this miserable material world, but goes back to him in the spiritual world. So therefore it is very important for us to know about Krishna's transcendental body, have knowledge of it, so that we gain his mercy to go back, like that. So let's discuss some point. So our body is material, we all know. It is made up of, you know, the panchadhatu, earth, water, fire, air, ether, like that. And then we have the subtle body of the mind, intelligence, and the false ego, like that. So the material body, or anything material, always undergoes the six transformations, takes birth, you know, grows, and remains in the stage, peaks, the age of growth. Then it starts dwindling, you know, reaches old age and then dies. These six transformations is taking place in matter, everything material, like that. So our body is made by material nature. It comes from material nature. So Krishna explains, if we go to the scriptures explain that this material manifestation was created. It is 1/4 the size of the spiritual world. And in the beginning it is given, how Krishna expands into Balram, who expands into the Chaturvyuha, and then through Shankarshan, all the Maha Vishnu comes, and then he breathes, creating all the universes through the pores of his body and through his breath. And then he enters into each universe as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, like that. And then expands into Kshirodakshaya Vishnu to enter into each and every atom, to give each and every atom its property, so that then Lord Brahma can engineer the universe. But firstly, it is mentioned that the whole 24 ingredients, including time factor, which is the 25th, it remains in a state that is dormant. Similarly, like the example can be given, like a plane, you know, costs something like, you know, billions of pounds. But it sits there on the tarmac unless a spirit soul goes in who knows how to press the right button, and then it takes off. So the whole billions of pounds worth of plane, so many tons of metal, just sits there. So similarly, the material nature with all its ingredients, you know, it is just stays there doing nothing until Krishna just glances it. Through his glance, he activates the whole 24 ingredients, including time and the three modes of material nature. So his glance is what activates it. And his glance comes from his eyes. And his eyes, as we know, Arvindaksha, beautiful lotus eyes he has. Yeah. And so, eyes of a person. Even the Christian scriptures say God has been created in the, man has been created in the image of God, like that. So, we can know that the Lord has eyes and therefore he is a person. And the material nature is not activated till he glances at it. So he is the origin of material nature. So how can he have a material body? Even before material nature, material ingredients came into being, he was there. And he says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo, matta sarvam pravartate, iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. I am the origin of the spiritual and the material worlds. So he is the origin of everything. So how can he have a material body? And also we can see that Krishna then, when he comes into this world, he comes as a human being because he wants to be one of us. He wants to us to play that role, have pastimes with his devotees, and so that he will attract our attention. And when he comes in that, Krishna again explains, avajananti mam mudha manushim tanum ashritah, that when I come, descend in human forms, the fools deride me. They do not know. Param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. They do not realize my transcendental form and my position as the supreme lord of all that be. Like that. And we can see, I mean, I am definitely one of the mudas because I can't imagine Krishna's body still. Because the material mind, with the material mind, it is very difficult to conceive of spiritual aspect. The material mind just can't conceive. Ata Sri Krishna Namadi na bhaved grayam indriya. Sevan mukhehi jivado swayameva spuratyada. That with this blunt material senses we can never know, understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then, just by engaging in devotional service to him, beginning with the tongue, then by engaging in that devotional service, we attract his mercy, and then by his mercy we can understand him. Unless he reveals it is not understood. So, Krishna still comes, and then we can see he performs various pastimes which are all indicative that his body is not material. It is spiritual. It is made of the same substance. And we can see starting with Putana, who visits him just when he's a few days at that time. She is a demoness, Rakshasin, and she visits him when he's a few days, and she just, when she looks at him, she thinks, ah, how beautiful is this child, just for a moment. And after that she comes back, that I have to fulfill this duty for my master, Kamsa. So she takes the child and puts him to her breast. And then Krishna, in that small form of a baby, not knowing, just a couple of days old, you know, not knowing anything, sucks out the life out of her when he, you know, when she tries to kill him, poison him. And this can't be done by any ordinary being, you know. And we know that, you know, Prabhupada mentions this in the Nectar of Instructions, that he said that it is very easy for us to imagine the form of Narasimhadev, you know. The Lord comes as Narasimha and he has huge gigantic form in Hiranyakashipu's palace to finish him off, the demon. And then he picks him up, tears him apart, and even in the pictures we can see Hiranyakashipu is shown small, smaller than Narasimhadev. Narasimhadev is really huge. And he, you know, comes in the form that, you know, keeps up all the conditions that Hiranyakashipu has put, and he comes and finishes them off. So it is very easy to imagine that, but it is very difficult to imagine a few years old baby, you know, killing demon is sucking out the life air through her breast. It is very difficult to understand. So he does that, and then Shakatasura, at 3 months old, who's the cart demon, one day, you know, Mother Yashoda keeps him underneath the cart as she gets busy with the household duties to attend to all the guests that have come, and you know, everyone's happy. Lord Sri Krishna is sleeping underneath the cart, and slowly his eyes open up, and then he sees the cart demon. Krishna can see everything. He is omniscient, so he knows everything. And then he simply, with his small lotus feet, that of a 3-month-old, you know, anyone who's experienced the feet of a 3-month-old baby, they're so soft and so nice. You feel like taking them and putting to your cheeks. It's very soft and nice like that. But with that, he tilts the whole cart, which is not just a cart. It is a demon, and it is full of utensils and other paraphernalia. So definitely it can't be done by any material body, because we know we've had King Kongs, and we've had world wrestling champions. We had several people. We had people who lift up trucks, but still, you know, after some time, they give up, because the material body just can't sustain it. So, but Krishna here, even at that age, he is able to, you know, just by his small tilt, he can break the cart and kill the demon. So that proves like that. And then again, Trinavrata, when Krishna is little, he's crawling. Then Mother Yashoda, one day, there's the pastime where she keeps the milk on the boil, and she's actually feeding Krishna at that time, and Krishna is irritated that my mother's left me, midway through feeding me, and I'm hungry, and I won't have it. So I'm going to protest. And he protests in his own sweet way, you know. So while his mother is busy attending to the milk, he goes off and breaks the pot of yogurt and butter, and then steals it, feeds it to the monkeys. And his mother comes chasing behind him to catch the makhan chor, and he runs away from her. And then at that one point, he hides away from her and goes to an area where then Tranavata, who is sent by Kamsa, he sees the small child, and he recognizes this must be him, the child that they are all talking about. And he picks up the child and he takes. And Krishna has a nice ride, goes up to quite a while it goes on, until Trinavarta, wants to throw him down. And Krishna suddenly realizes what is happening. Of course, he's always realized, but at that point he says, it's time to do the job. And he strangles Trinavarta and brings him down, comes crashing down, and then soft cushions on him. And Trinavarta dies while he is there, just enjoying himself, until the gopis and everyone comes and picks him up, like that. So we can see that all these pastimes which are there, all other forms as well, like even in Varahadev, we can see the first incarnation. He comes to the nostril of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is huge by our size, but still, coming through the nostril of Lord Brahma, he takes that size, and once he comes out, he grows. in his gigantic form. And then, you know, he jumps into the ocean at such a rate that all the water spills out. And all the aquatics and everyone, there's a disturbance in the universe. So we can see that Krishna can grow his body to any size. Even when he's little, he can perform this. But he can grow his body to any size and perform the pastimes. And have different bodies. Angani sakalendriya vrittimanti. With different parts of his bodies, he can do different things. And here in Varaha form, he takes the Varaha form and kills the Hiranyaksha demon underneath the water. Has anyone seen boars going underwater in the ocean? No, usually not. But still, Krishna performs that in that boar body. So, we can see that the nature of the soul is, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, can't be burned by fire, nor moistened by water, nor withered by the wind. So, we can see that the soul comes from Krishna. It's a part of Krishna. And Krishna's body, there's no difference. That is what Satchidananda Vigraha is. Our soul is Satchidananda Vigraha, but Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha. So, he's Kaivalya. So, there's no contradiction there. We have a contradiction in that we have the material body and then we have the subtle body. Gross material body, the subtle body and the soul. And they're all going in different directions. The body wants something, the mind wants something, the intelligence wants something. And then the soul, of course, it is pining for association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his names, forms, pastimes, like that. But we can see that Krishna, his body, which is Satchidananda, then there are no limitations. Like that. Even in the Matsya form, he was in King Satyavrata, who was the king at the end of the millennium in the age of Vaivasvata Manu. Then he found this fish when he went for morning ablutions into the sea. And that small fish he took, you know, because this fish spoke to him. Please save me from all the, you know, other creatures in the water. They'll eat me. Please save me. So he took it home and put it in a small bowl of water. And soon enough it had grown. You know, enough to make it uncomfortable in the bowl of water. And then a bigger bowl. And then a well. And then ultimately into the sea. And Satyavrata was perplexed, but he knew that this was someone great. He had the piety. So, son of Manu, of course, he had the piety to know that this is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore he followed the instructions. And of course, they had to save all the herbs. And so, the Lord, you know, Satyavatara followed the instructions and he filled the boat with the Vedas, with the herbs, and then the Lord took the boat to safety until the time that period of annihilation was over. And again, that was the start. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ji Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sita Ji, Ram Ji, Lakshman Ji, Hanuman Ji Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai, Shri La Prabhupada Ki Jai, like that. So when we see that all these pastimes, they can't be done with a material body, definitely. And then we can say that, okay, but all this is mythology. It never happened. It is just something that's been made up. Then even modern day NASA, you know, National Aeronautics and Space Administration, they discovered the bridge that Lord Ram built underneath the ocean through their powerful cameras, which can, you know, which can film underwater right from where they are, right from the satellites. And they have this proof. And of course, they still call, they say, in the Ramayana, the Hindu mythology Ramayana, they speak about a bridge that Lord Ram built. And that bridge was discovered. They discovered it. But still they call it the mythology. So we can see that Krishna is so right that today it's so difficult to imagine. The whole scientific community denies, even though there is proof. We can see that today scientists are discovering, the recent is the double split experiment, where they shoot atoms and electrons, you know, through one hole and in a piece of, you know, material through one hole, and it makes a certain image going past the hole onto the board at the other end, makes a certain image. But when they have two holes then and shoot these electrons and atoms through them, then it makes not one images but images across the board, and they are not able to explain. So to do that, they went further and they had an instrument that observed it closely, the shooting, so that, you know, they could know how the atoms were reacting once they left the equipment that was shooting them. And they found out that when the observing instrument was observing, the atoms and electrons behaved still more differently. And they are now perplexed. They don't know. So even in the atom, we know, Krishna says, Andantarastam Paramanu Chayantarastam. He is in every atom. Even in the small molecule in the atom. So we know there is consciousness even in there, because spirit is the origin of matter. But they don't know, so they are perplexed. But they won't say, we don't know. It is still, you know, we will find out. So we can't, you know, if we live in the modern material atmosphere, it is very difficult to understand Krishna. So only when, you know, acharyas like Prabhupada, by their mercy, when they write, when they bring, and their disciples explain it to us. Because when they explain, because they are situated in the spiritual realm, yeah, they can also impart that knowledge deep into us, into our spiritual realm. And then whether we are at that position or not, because they can cut through, as Prabhupada said, you know, by that mercy we can understand. So therefore, the association of devotees, and especially gaining that knowledge, is so very important. To constantly be in that association and constantly have that knowledge flowing in through these great souls, so that it can be established within our hearts and minds. And then whatever nations is there, through whatever we have studied in school, college, you know, all those speculative things that we have studied and that we were brainwashed to think as real, you know, they'll be washed away and replaced by this. So that at least at the time of death, when we are leaving the body, we have the right image of Krishna. Krishna says, anyone who knows me, you know, is liberated. So it is just an attempt to keep that knowing Krishna. I mean, I was just, you know, finding out, you know, just to know about Krishna's forms, names, pastimes, this thing. There is so much knowledge. I think all the time could be covered up by the rest of the years we can live. Even up to 80 years, as they say. There's so much material. Prabhupada is really, you know, so grateful to him that he has brought so much. Without him, I mean, we wouldn't have known about anything. But he has brought so much, and now there's so much knowledge. His disciples, you know, there's so much knowledge we know. So, even the Yuga Dharma is his name, which is also Sachidananda. And therefore, because hearing is the main, Shravanam is the main thing, therefore the Lord brings the holy name. And so when the Sachidananda meets the Sachidananda within, then there's everything that's in between, our doubts, our speculation, all the dirt that's accumulation, it just dissolves like that. So Krishna gives this wonderful process for us to, you know, to dissolve everything that's in between these two Sachidanandas, the holy name as we chant and hear, and the soul within, like that. And especially here, again, in the association of pure devotees, those pure devotees chanting, so that also cuts through us and, you know, establishes in our hearts and minds and benefit from it, like that. So, yeah, that is the best process, the highest process, giving us information about the topmost person, his topmost form. We are so fortunate to be part of it. I'll stop there if there are any questions, comments, realizations to share.